This is the Mosaic Church Podcast. Mosaic Church is committed to making disciples that discover Christ, connect in Christian community, and serve others and the world.
I don't know if you've ever, has anybody ever made a promise you did not keep? Yeah, me too. One time, my brother and I are 11 years apart, and he promised to take me to the Bronx Zoo, and he never fulfilled his promise. I've held on to it for 50 years. He also promised to take me to the Statue of Liberty and to go see the New York Mets. He was very good at making promises, and we never went to see the Mets or Statue of Liberty or anything like that. One time, my dad actually made a promise that he would take me to go see the New York Yankees, and he never did that. You know why he never did it? He didn't have the time, and he didn't have the money. And so I can't remember my mom ever making a promise she didn't keep, but I don't remember too many promises, grandiose promises. But I thank my mom. I'm the youngest of six, so I was the baby. You know, everybody else had to eat liver and onion. I ate a little hamburger. And my brothers remind me of that all the time. I used to wake her up early for her to make me French toast on Saturday. And she made a mean French toast. So thank you, Mom. My title of the message today is You Cannot Give What You Do Not Have. I'm not going to show the whole thing. I'll show about 4 to 5 minutes. But it is the most awkward TV show episode about making a promise. You cannot give what you do not have. The rest of the scene, of course, are individual students thanking Michael Scott for giving them a free college tuition, which towards the end, he has to tell them, I think he gives them laptop batteries. So he made a promise he couldn't keep because you can't give if you don't have it. Right? You know, you probably needed $1 million in those days. You can't give if you don't have it. Sometimes people make promises, like my dad or my brother, and they meant well, but they didn't have the time, nor did they have the resources. And one of our biggest challenges here in the church, I think, is that we give promises, but we have to make sure that we have it before we make the promise. Amen? And so today's not a Mother's Day message. If you're trying to figure out how I'm going to weave that in, I'm not. So I showed you this 5-minute clip. It's horrendous. He has to tell those kids that have all been dreaming that their college tuition, they had to do certain point grade average, and they did that, all to be told. It was not going to happen. We've been talking about putting on the full armor of God, and we've learned so far that it's not optional. There's only two types of people. Believers. They're the type of person who is prepared by putting on the full armor of God. And then the other side is the unprepared. They think that they can just put it on whenever it's time to. It's like taking your uniform in a gym bag. But the scripture doesn't say put your uniform in a gym bag. It actually says put on the full armor of God. So the two groups are prepared believers and unprepared believers. Then last week we learned about putting on the belt of truth, which is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And we asked the question last week, who has the final word? And that's how you can determine if you have the belt of truth on. I talked to you about a funny story about me and my wife having an argument over something silly. And the question I have in your relationships, in your home, in your family, who has the final word? Is it your cravings? Is it your emotional state at the moment? You know, I used to, struggle with hangry? Hangry, yes. I used to be hangry, and I say used to. What I've learned is to actually help ask the Lord to help me in those moments when my blood sugar is low. The low blood sugar only revealed what was already in my heart. It just opened the gate. The sugar or lack of sugar or carbs was not the reason I was angry. It just gave me the opportunity, an excuse to be angry. I remember one time I was so angry on North Monroe. This is when the kids were wee little kids. Robin and I were arguing over something silly, I'm sure. I don't remember. But I got so angry, I stormed. I literally put the car in park right there, right before, right by where Walmart is. It used to be Sam's Club on North Monroe. And I put the car in park and got out and started walking home. And so poor Robin had to drive home while I was flaming mad. And I only laugh about it because I cried about it already enough. Who has the final word? Is it Jesus, the truth, the belt of truth, or is it going to be my, you know, I used to blame my Spanish heritage. Have you ever heard that Spanish men can be hot-headed? Anybody hear that? Yeah, me too. And they can be. However, being bought, a new creature, filled with the Holy Spirit, I can't blame my heritage on my anger outburst. I've been bought by the precious blood of Christ. I'm a new creature. And I had to learn how to submit to the truth of God's word and the belt of truth in Christ. So whose belt are you wearing this morning? Are we wearing the belt of truth? Who's Jesus? Now, we are in a spiritual battle. I talked to you about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, that one of the biggest challenges in America is to let us in on the fact that we are battling spiritual forces. You know, we have a hard time thinking of, you know, that there's Satan and there's demons and all that. And I am not the kind of person that thinks there's a demon behind every rock, but I do believe in the supernatural and dark forces. And so we only think that the devil is way out there, you know, some tribes in South America in the Amazon jungle or somewhere in Africa. That's where all the demonic stuff is happening. I just heard a statement from online that there was some highest demonic activity in the Catholic Church that they've had to deal with. And I no doubt that it's true. You don't have to look too far into the news and find people who are acting in evil ways beyond just, you know, angry behavior, slamming car doors. It's just very evil. I don't know, did you hear yesterday about this 1 8-year-old girl, I don't know which state it was abducted by this kid, and the brother, 14-year-old brother, saw it from the back window, and he came out with a slingshot and was able literally to stop the guy with two slingshots. One hit his head and the other one hit, I think, the neck, and he dropped his 8-year-old sister. We live in a very deep, demonic world. People are doing things that are crazy. And as I said last week, we have people that work in that field and they're dealing with some really dark things. We need to pray for them, those who are on the front lines. But the enemy is everywhere, not just over there. He's over here. Now, he uses a different tactic over here. Over there, the enemy was, his goal is to get you to bow your knee away from Jesus, to bow your knee to the world. Over here, he uses a different tactic. Over here, he uses the same end game, different tactic, different stick. He uses a carrot. He gives us chocolate cake at night, right? He wants us to lull us to sleep. He gives us really comfortable recliners. Air conditioning, I love air conditioning, don't you? Soft pillows and soft beds and smart TVs and smartphones and everything we can do to control the environment that we're in. We love that. We love, what is it that we love? We love comfort, and I love comfort. And our comfort really is God. A lot of times, God will ask you to go minister to someone, but that means you have to get out of your comfort zone, whether it's personality comfort zone or whether it's your location of comfort zone. You know, you like, I knew a family member on Friday afternoons, they get home, close the blinds, turn off all the lights, and just shut the world out. And they were not going to do anything for anybody that Friday night or all day Saturday. They'll go to church real quick on Sunday. And Sunday night, it was their time. And so they loved their comfort of their privacy, their private time, this is our time. And maybe the Lord would say, can you invite a family over so you can extend the grace and love on a Saturday night? And the comfort person says, hey, I'm tired from Monday through Friday. And the Holy Spirit's saying, but this family could really use your fellowship on a Saturday afternoon. And so now there's this battle, and it's a comfort battle. We are being lulled by comfort. And I confess, I love comfort. I like my Saturdays not to be occupied as well. But sometimes the Lord will call on us to do things that will pull us out of comfort. And that's where you can see and determine how strong the enemy might have us under his control and not the whole Spirit control. Now, I'm not saying every week, and I'm not saying every Saturday and all those things, but there are times when the Spirit of God speaks to you to get out of your comfort zone to go do something. And so that's how we determine if we have the belt of truth. That we determine if we have the breastplate of righteousness on. And those little instances in our lives will determine, you know, where we stand in putting on the full armor of God and where we are in Christ. So we talked about the breastplate of righteousness, not our own righteousness, but his righteousness. We talked about that last week. The toughest person to convince they need Jesus is the nice person, I think, who doesn't think they need Jesus. I think one of our pastors up the street, I believe it was City Church, he wrote a book, I've been told, and it's really how to convince people that they're not Christians. And I think that's the challenge here in the West, and especially in America. I learned this week, and I don't know if it was Rhea here. Rhea, I don't know if this is true, Rhea, but I've been told this. I pray to God it's true, okay? That you could actually be a swimmer swimming in the pool and be dehydrated. You're not actually drinking water, but you are immersed in water. It's interesting. You can actually sweat out any liquid that you have in the pool and it gets absorbed into the water, but you can dehydrate while swimming in a pool. Too many churchgoers, and I've included myself, are swimming in the community of Christ, but never actually have drank the fullness of Christ. They love being in the pool of the community, but never have actually taken in and say, Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Isn't that crazy that you can be in a pool and get dehydrated? I just talked to someone who's from Quito today, and I visited a Christian school in Quito. It's a Missionary Christian Alliance school, and I hope you didn't go to school there. I had the honor to do the chapel service at this Christian school. And I still say today, to this day, I have done open-air preaching on the middle of campus, literally got on a box and did open-air preaching, and that was hard. But let me tell you where it was harder. It was in that school in Quito, Ecuador. They were a tough crowd. That school had a Christian principal, had Christian teachers, had a Christian curriculum, and even had a Christian school chaplain, full-time chaplain. But my estimate was that at least 50% of those kids never accepted Christ and absorbed him into their lives. So again, we can swim in a pool of Christianity, but never know Jesus. And so that's the thing. That's the toughest part. What was tough was talking to these young kids, these middle schoolers and high schoolers, that they need Jesus. And in their minds, they had everything they needed. They, you know, had rich parents and they had all their comforts, and there was no need for Christ. So we need the righteousness of Christ. Amen. And Ephesians 6 says, stand firm with the belt of truth fastened around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and this is what we're going to focus on today, with your feet equipped with the provision that comes from the gospel of peace. There's another version called the Good News Translation. How wonderful it is to see a messenger crossing the mountains, bringing the good news, the news of peace. The good news of peace. Isaiah 52:7, the NIV version says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, and proclaim salvation. Who say to Zion, your God reigns? In other words, When your feet are on the ground and you're wherever you're at, your mountain, you're going to be in an area where you're going to be able to encourage connections with your community. And I pray that it's a spiritual connection of the good news of peace. First Peter says, be prepared for the gospel. Always be ready to share the gospel. If it is well with your heart and soul, do you think you can be stopped if you have the fullness of Christ? I believe that when you are clothed with Jesus in your heart and your life, clothed with the full armor of God, you are a person who knows how to share the good news because you have good news to share. You have peace to share. You can't give if you don't have it. When opposition comes, you're prepared. You're willing to go against the spirit of this age. I've talked to Dave and talked about his son who was already being challenged in his faith, even at this young age. And I was proud to hear what he said. Again, can't give that if you don't have it. So the Bible says if you have this peace in your heart, the good news of peace, you are ready, as 1 Peter says, to share that good news. When you're living under the Spirit's power, you're fully armed with the armor of God, you have a clear conscience before God. And when people throw stuff at you, it won't stick. They will end up realizing that they're the ones that are dirty, not you that are trying to throw things on. One of the biggest challenges is the Lord has helped me. And the only reason I tell you this, not that I have arrived, but the Lord can help you. I really ask the Lord to help me to be a person of peace in my family. Now, we all may say we have peace in our heart and our family. My guess is it will be tested soon after church in that minivan, all right? It will be tested. But the Lord wants to reveal it to us so that we can deal with it. I haven't talked to my kids lately, but I pray that they could see a change in my capacity for anger. Yes, my daughter's looking down, like, oh, praise God. I think if we brought Robin up here, I believe she would say so. And it's not because I've gotten older and my blood chemistry has gotten less, all right? It is because, I believe, because of the Holy Spirit revealing some things in my life that I was not living a life of peace. I would get angry. Early on in my days, my kids would joke about me trying to, as they're running up the steps, me trying to be like, you know, that Lord of the Rings scene where that whip would come out and I'd try to, you know, clip their heels as they're running away from me. And the Lord has dealt with me with my anger with my kids. Thank the Lord they were young and I was able to adjust before they could really remember. So thank you, Lord Jesus. But when somebody throws something at you, when you're covered in the full armor of God, those things don't stick on you. I shared this story a few times, but I remember one time I was at Publix right here in Lake Ella, and probably 10, 15 years ago, and a cop. He was the security guy at Publix, and I was with my wife. And he looked her up and down, and then he looked at me. He looked at me up and down. He goes, "How'd you end up with her?" And usually those are like fighting words. You know, my Napoleon personality would come out. But the Lord helped me. I said, "Well, she's blind in that one eye, so I consistently stay on that side." And it didn't bother me. 10 years prior to that, I'd be waiting for him in the parking lot. You know, I'd probably lose, but I'd still be waiting for him. I'd get his shins really good. You cannot give what you don't have. How can we bring the good news of Christ, the peace that comes with knowing Christ, if we're not living in peace? And so, The challenge for us is to help us learn. You know what a burp Christian is? A burp Christian is someone who feels better, but not the person who received it. And I pray that that's not us. I pray that we're not burping our lack of peace, our lack of love. I pray that God is filling us with his love and his peace. You know, when circumstances happen, how do we respond? Because circumstances happen to everybody. You know, hurricane came 5 years ago, it knocked my whole street down. How are we going to respond? I pray that how we respond is the good news of peace. It helps to share the good news to those around us. So what does it mean to have peace? It's not the absence of conflict. We all have conflict, every single one of us. But how do we have this biblical peace? Peace is how life should be when we are in harmony with God and his word. Harmony between God's word and God and ourselves. Adam and Eve lost that harmony. There was disharmony. And you can't give what you don't have. I would love to give everybody $1 million this morning. Amen? I don't have it. And I can't give what I don't have. And I don't want to be a Michael Scott and make a promise that we can't fulfill. And if you're a Christian this morning, we must live in harmony with God and through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is, I believe what brings peace is, do you trust him? Do you trust him? Do you trust Jesus? Do you love him? We sang songs about loving him, but do we love him? We won't really know if we love and trust him until we walk out these doors. Do we understand that he loves us? Do you know that he's entrusted us? He's given us the Holy Spirit, and he's entrusted us to go and be his ambassadors for Jesus, for Christ. He has deposited the Spirit in us. Now, one of the worst things a team or an army could ever do, I believe, is to turn on each other. Any team that I believe is infighting will suffer defeat. And the same will happen in the church. So we need to pray for each other. Pray for a blessing on each person in our church and those around you are believers. Infighting with one another is not scriptural. It's not biblical. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. Amen? We must live a life of peace. And how do we do that? Well, how do we know if we're peaceful? Well, God will give you opportunities to be peaceful. It's not like all of a sudden, you know, like, you know, just dumped in my all of a sudden I'm peaceful. No, he's going to give me, and it's like developing the muscle of peace. I'm going to go in situations and God is going to give me peace. Trusting him, loving him, knowing that my identity's in him, that I trust his word. I'm going to live out his word. That's why I think online church is good, but it's not enough. Because you can't express the true peace unless you're in community with one another. I don't know if you ever, have you ever sat next to someone in church, nobody here, that can't sing? It's very distracting, isn't it? God wants you to sit with that person, love that person nonetheless. Or somebody that might have body odor or bad breath, all those things that come with living in a community. And those are where you're going to be able to express those muscles of peace and joy living in community. God's going to use us all to make us all better and followers of Jesus Christ. You know, back in the day, you guys, some of you are too young, but I used to drink Tang. Anybody ever drink Tang? Yeah. You know, on there it says vitamin C, and you think that's like enough vitamin C and that's a healthy drink, and it's not. You know, it has a little bit of vitamin C. And that's why I think when we isolate ourselves as Christians, You know, we're not part of the body. We're not involved in loving one another, a community of believers, a fellowship of believers. It's like drinking tang. Yes, you're a Christian, but you're never really going to be able to exercise those muscles of community and peace. We need each other. I need you in my life. I pray that I can be a blessing and a challenge in your life. When we have biblical community, it's where we can develop this God-given gift of peace, to live a life of peace. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, enduring one with the other in love, in community. The conflict is good because it helps us to see where we are with humility, kindness, and peace. I shared a few months ago that I used to fight with sarcasm. You remember me telling you that? And it wasn't until someone told me that I fight with sarcasm. And I didn't know that. And I try to respond, I go, yeah, really? You know, that didn't go over well. But I have to keep my eyes on the enemy, the real enemy. And guess what? My wife is not the enemy. Amen? My children are not the enemy. Amen? Your mom's like, eh, I don't know. My boss is not the enemy. My neighbor is not the enemy. The political party people are not my enemy. The enemy is the enemy. And it's easy for the enemy to blind us, blinded us to think it's people. It's my neighbor who puts up that colorful flag. She's the enemy. No, she's not the enemy. She's made in the image of God, and I pray that somehow my life can interact with hers and I can bring her something that I have, which is Jesus. Peace, joy, love, patience, all those things. You can't give if you don't have it. It only comes through Christ. You do not and you cannot give what you do not have. So the question I have for us before we leave on Mother's Day is, do we have peace? And there's only one way to find out. Just get in a minivan. And that's the only way you're going to find out. Go to work. Go home. Is your home a home of peace? There's only one way. Just go there. And you'll know if your identity's in Christ, or you're going to say, God, I need more of your righteousness, your righteousness. I need to put on the belt of truth. I need to bring the good news of peace. Lord, help me. And it can start by simply as how we treat our moms today. You can't give what you don't have. And if you say you have Jesus and he's deposited his Holy Spirit in you, man, we have so much to give. Joy and love and appreciation. So to all the moms in the room, all the moms who are watching, thank you so much. I pray that because of gratefulness that has been deposited in my life through Christ, that I can give gratefulness this morning. So let's bow our heads for a second. Say, you're going to say, I'm going to challenge you in a second, just by raising your hands. You say, Pastor Mario, I could really use the Holy Spirit to help me in the area of peace. The area of peace. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen. Yeah, hands all over. My hands raised. I'm not finished product. Lord Jesus, those who raise their hands, I pray, God, that you would help us. Lord, you don't even have to orchestrate too much. Lord, we're going to be put in situations where the peace of Christ would be helpful, but Lord, it'll also reveal where we are in you in that area. So Lord, help us. Help us to put on the armor of God. Help us not to be unprepared, but prepared believers living under your authority. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Lord, I pray, God, that we would walk in your fullness. Lord, I pray for peace this afternoon at home with all the families, with the young kids. Lord, I pray for husbands to be peaceful, wives to be peaceful, and kids, in Jesus' name, to be peaceful. But Lord, but do that by filling us with your Holy Spirit, your presence. And Lord, I pray that there's no one in this room that just enjoys swimming in the pool of Christian community. That person will never know the fullness of Christ. just knows the community of Christ. I pray that any person here that has never said yes to Jesus would do so this morning. We love you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Well, I pray that you have a blessed Mother's Day. If your mom's not here, call her up. And if your mom has gone to be with Jesus, thank the Lord for a mom that gave you life, especially today when it's so easy to not give life. Amen. We love you. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. He is risen. We are dismissed.
We want to thank you for listening. We pray that you were blessed and encouraged. If you like what you heard today, subscribe to this podcast and listen whenever you like. To find out more about Mosaic Church, please visit www.mosaicchurchtlh.com.